Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Your host, Jorge Gonzalez, and we were talking about these different emotions, comparing empathy and sympathy and compassion and care and condolence, etc. And then this article by Piculín Ortiz's widow, Silvia Rios, on his last year and a half, and I found it, you know, very touching and basically the wife explaining the last year and a half of somebody who's suffering from cancer and ended up, you know, terminally ill and dying in the whole process. Not the whole process, because she says she's retaining quite a few things that she's not going to be disclosing, etc. But it's pretty strong emotionally, as she describes the last year. And first of all, they had to move from an apartment on the fourth floor to a one-level house, and his love for the garden and a special kitchen that, you know, with his height, the counters and the cabinets were at a higher level than most, and apparently he was a pretty good cook. His love for his two dogs, and as I was saying at the end of the last segment, his realization as he became weaker, hospitalized with very few people knew. She says, discloses in this article, on a monthly basis and 3 or 4 days on the different occasions. So constantly, you know, having to be taken to the hospital and needing help and all. So she describes his need to rely on other people as he became weaker. And then when he dies, she says he doesn't die from cancer. He was free of cancer at that time, but the combination of all the remedies and x-rays and chemotherapy and all these kinds of things just weakened the immune system in the body, and so it ended up with a bacteria that was the cause of his death. But as she describes his last few days, and especially his last day, he says that she was speaking with the doctor who was telling her that the end was near, and he looked at her and says, what did the doctor say? And she says she didn't tell him the truth, that he had to be intubated, but that he would be okay. But he could tell from the expressions that you know, what was really happening. So she says the last moments and all, she says there was a lot of silence, mucho silencio, and she repeats it twice, you know, but at the given moment he sort of looked at her and then they kiss, and he says, te quiero mucho, I love you very much, and that he passed away. So sad, but at the same time a beautiful ending. And what I find, you know, of course, the compassion, the care, the love that exudes from Silvia Rios for Piculín, who went through some difficult times. He had problems with drugs. He had some difficult times, and he had some fantastic times. Athletes have often problems coping with the regular life after their athletic careers. It's you know, it's like a lot of other things. The transitions sometimes are not easy. So it's a beautiful story, and it brought to mind that I mentioned this on an occasion, but I went to a retreat in 25 last year around May, The Art of Living, in Boone, North Carolina. And when one of the Gurudev is the the person who was the founder of, I think it's about now 40 years old, this movement with meditation and breathing exercises and yoga and vegetarian food, etc. An incredible experience called Stepping in the Science, about 4 nights and 5 days. He I'll never forget, he said, I want you to envision and think and reflect on, you're told that you're going to die in 1 week, and you're going to be healthy during the course of that 1 week. And you know, what would you do on the 7 days before? And then he would be silenced and says, what would you do 6 days before? And what would you do? And he went on day by day, you know, what would you do? What would you do the last day? And it's incredible, healthy exercise. It dawned on me clearly that week, you know, would be to a great extent spent with my family and really close friends. I've sort of thought of the organizations and other friends that I would approach and meetings I would go to, and ones that I would not go to. What kinds of things would I put together, you know, that are necessary, that would, and mostly to make life easier for my children and grandchildren, and certain things that, you know, you've been wanting to do, and you hopefully have a little bit of a few hours to be able to put it together that you haven't been able to do. So that exercise of thinking what you would do over a week, with whom and what and how, is really really important. And it goes to, you know, what are really the important values? Because as you all know, I have the my definition of well-being and happiness is, you know, living your personal values with a sense of self-satisfaction and peace. So this brings them to the core. You know, what are the values that are really important? You know, the other thing it brings to mind in the Steve Covey's the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Persons, the very beginning of the book, as I recall, because it's been quite a while since I read it, but I'll never forget that particular exercise that he asks the reader to undertake. He says, "You're at your funeral, you know, you're in the casket." And you're able to listen, you know, you're listening to what people are saying about you. He says, what would you like them to say about you? You know, what is important, you know, what was important for them with respect to your life? And that, again, you know, what are the values that you live with that people, when they reflect about you, are important. And I was there was a, and I'll be talking about a few athletes here, but Carlos Delgado the other day, and in a television program, was asked, you know, what would your legacy? What would you like your legacy to be? ¿Cuál sería tu legado? Delgado, your legado. And he quickly said, you know, that I've left and have really good children, you know, and you know, and I think that's. I think that pretty much sums up what I was thinking when I was forced to think about the week and to think about, you know, we're talking. I think the children, your grandchildren, your wife, and your really good friends, that they're all close, that they appreciated what you did, and more importantly, they've developed, you know, as really good human beings that are happy and successful and have well-being, you know. What more do you want? Recently, you know, a few months ago, I went to a funeral, and just really quite sad because the siblings fighting among themselves, sometimes not even saying hello to each other. Of the different grandchildren, only one out of seven went to the funeral and the burial. And that person, ironically, had been adopted out of the family, but being brought back in, had the strongest, ironically, you know, ties. So, you know, you think of what a good funeral and what kind of who they're there and what they're saying about you versus a sad funeral, ties it up. And, you know, I go back to, you know, Pinky, my wife, and you know, 60 years and in this, the art of living exercises, thinking, I mean, clearly, I absolutely know that I can count on her to the very end, to be there for me. And I think she, you know, hopefully, you know, feels the same way about me. So that's the critical thing. We're talking about, you know, compassion and empathy and caregiving and love. And it all wraps up with really what, you know, what the values that we should be. I mean, I don't know about you, but the values that we have to each internalize and determine are important for us. As I quickly say right after that, I know there are people that have completely different values, and I think they're happy, and I think they feel that they're successful, and people around them think that they're successful, and they're, you know, the values of relationships with family and sticking and loyalty, and you know, 60 years with the same or 65 years with the same person is something completely different from what they consider, you know, is good for them, and I respect it, you know, that it is. But at the end, though, the important thing is that you sort of know who you are and what makes you tick and what makes you happy and makes you feel comfortable and a sense of self satisfaction and peace, as I said. Going a little bit into, you know, the athletes are talking about Carlos Delgado and Picurín, and all. There was a couple of articles that I thought were interesting. There's a baseball player who will be going to Florida State, 17-year-old Carrión, and he, you know, we were talking about last week, persons basically now going to college really to prepare for the professional life. So, you know, he'd probably be there a couple years you know, move on to, but he feels that, you know, his goal is to be a Hall of Famer, not really going for the home run from the very beginning. And apparently has, you know, tremendous talent. So, you know, kudos to him. In the sporting world, we had in San Juan Rotary as a speaker, Rocío Delgado. I had her on the program 5 or 6 months ago, and she is an artist and was doing a baseball using a design of her Corazón Boricua, the Borinquen Puerto Rican heart in a San Diego cap, and you know, to raise funds for a philanthropic organization. Well, the San Diego Padres has just been sold to a Puerto Rican, Jose E. Feliciano, and his wife, you know, for almost $3.8 billion with purchase. He also has a strong participation in Chelsea, the soccer team in the the UK. So he and his wife doing really well in San Diego, and with Rocio Delgado, and hopefully they'll keep on using her new designs. And they do speak about the importance of the community. Apparently, San Diego, the team, has not won a World Series, or I think even the pennant. But they've come close. They're a good team, and going to be shooting for it. But what has sets it aside, apparently the fans are very, very loyal, and they have a great participation. I mean, the stadium is full most of the time. At the inauguration of their ownership, he dressed with number 21, the Roberto Clemente number, and he says that Roberto Clemente is here, and by coincidence, the Pittsburgh Pirates is a team that is going now to play at San Diego Padres when he's becomes the first, the owner's initial ownership of the San Diego Padres. So the other thing that happened in sports, Amanda Serrano had a fight last weekend. It was through TikTok, and I got it through YouTube, and was able, it wasn't as good a presentation, visually as your normal, but the fight was fine to watch, and the play-by-play was good. I was scared that she could have lost, but one judge saw her even. And the other two saw her winning, pretty decisively. So it was, unanimous in that regard. No, none of them felt that she had lost. The Argentine was a scrapper, gave her a lot of trouble. You always wonder whether, how good the contestant was versus, she's now 37, whether she's slowing down or not as powerful of a punch. She retained it, and she's now has the most wins by a woman. She's tied in terms of knockouts. People were hoping that she would have a knockout and then overcome the record for women in terms of knockout, but that's still pending. She wants to have, she says she wants to make sure her last fight is in Puerto Rico. We'll see what happens, but kudos to Amanda Serrano, one of my heroes. Again, one of these people in a sporting world that just is so concentrated, disciplined, responsible, in her field, her choice. Speaking of field and choice, in terms of paths that we take, it was a really nice article on Mario Pagan in El Nuevo Día on the 23rd of August, and basically his scholarship is now being in her name, being in his name, at the Ana Jiménez, and he speaks about how important a scholarship was for him in his development, and how proud he is that this scholarship would be in his name and be helping students through the culinary study programs at Ana Jiménez. But I found interesting in his article. It made me reflect on my mind and my life and all, he was studying architecture, and little by little, started dabbling into food. And there was a one moment in New York where some reason, Hector is waving again, the segment is over. So I'm going to go into Mario Pagan and how he chose to be the chef, which I found interesting, and how that ties in with, I think, all of us most of us, or many of us, in terms of, our past, in terms of our profession and our careers. So this is Jorge Gonzalez, your host, Reflections. We'll be right back after the pause.